how did you get into farming, John?
Inheritance. Yeah, only yeah. Sons are inheritance.
So what kind of a farm is it? What kind of farming do you do?
Mixed. We would have been suckler cows. I suppose income from that has dried up, I think. Too much work involved for too little profit. So a bit of a diversification of farm job. So then it has to change. Cows are not suitable. Suckler cows might be suitable for off-farm mm-hmm. jobs. So in dry stock at the moment.
And what's the land like then on the farm?
It would be typical burn land, I suppose. A mixture of limestone going into gravel. So where we are would be a lot of heavyish land going into cork.
Has the soil changed? Would there be any soil erosion when it's the burn area?
It may not be too visible.
Yeah.
But I suppose there is. I think with the wetter weather, you have longer springs, longer winters, shorter summers. So in the heavier soils, they suffer then from poaching. You're trying to cut more silage because your winter's longer. Right. And of course, there's less profit in, obviously. Climate change will impact on the heavier soils a lot more than it will on the soils of the east in the tillage grounds.
Right.
I think rushes, and we all have them.
Yeah.
They imagine they're not responding to the chemicals like they used to.
Oh, right.
I think they're more resilient. It's really hard to see unless you're doing it every year, and it's very costly. Put out chemicals, you're killing grass as well. So.
Do you do any testing on the soil?
Me personally, no. The proficient ones probably are doing it.
Farmers do it themselves, or would they have to get somebody in?
Maybe some do, but I think sometimes it's a requisite of some of the schemes, the agri schemes.
Right.
So you kind of have to do it, but acting on the results is another thing. My understanding is, I think if you. The real requirement is to do the soil test.
Yeah.
I mean, what you do after that is only, I think it make an impact maybe on profit, possibly.
Yeah.
Whether to do it on the quality of the soil or not, I'm not sure. Can you, I mean, if you have a muddy base soil, you can't really change the constitution of that soil. I don't think you can through fertilizers or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you make it grow more grass.
And what about then, you know, we're seeing all the different weather. We've got the drought, we've got the flooding, we've got all the different weather.
Yep.
How is that impacting on the land?
Well, if you think about the drought last summer, it was probably very good for the heavier soils.
Okay, so it was good for drying it up.
It dried it up and the grass growth kept growing all the time. It didn't parch like the east of the country. So the carcass land and the heavy lands
really
were green, whereas the east was brown. From that's one summer out of many. If we get a wet summer, you'll see, I often saw cattle going into sheds in August. That's unsustainable.
Right.
It's unsustainable economically anyway.
Mm.
And I mean, if it is unsustainable economically, it's not good for the environment either. Because the farmers are the custodians of the environment. And if they're not there to mind the environment or do whatever is necessary,
would you think that climate change impacts on farming?
Oh, without a doubt. Economically, sure. In our winter, it's more costly.
Yeah, agriculture is a factor in climate change.
I suppose it has to be if you consider the greenhouse gases. But there's a catch-22 there, because if you... We're told that the world needs 50% more food by 2050 or whatever. The only ones that can produce that, really. They won't be producing it in O'Connell Street in Dublin. They'll be producing it on the rural lands of this country and all around Europe. So the only way to produce more is put out fertilizers and get more intensive. It's not marrying with the climate change idea. We have an increasing population. Somebody has to produce the goods. Somebody has to produce it. And we are told in Ireland that we're more efficient at producing food than many, many, many countries. So they're saying now that, well, let Ireland do the production, buy the carbon credits to do so, or whatever they do, and that will suffice. But that will be done at a cost. You see there where you have the dairy herds expanding mad, right, through fertilizers, at the expense of the beef section, because they're the ones, they're buying up the land. And they're leasing anything that's any good because they have the money to do so. So the beef guy is being priced out, and eventually he's going to go. So you'll have all the good lands will be producing milk intensively. The beef sections, the beef people, will have the rest, and they'll be incentivized to go into agricultural schemes, to go into environmental schemes, to mop up the greenhouse gases of the dairy sector. But they're not paying for that to agri schemes. There's no scheme there now if you're in IOS. There's no scheme after IOS, apparently, as far as I know. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Like, and even the schemes are badly funded. I don't know, you want a huge amount of land to get 4,000 or 5,000 euros. Yeah. So apparently does a blank check given to the dairy sector, because it's supporting the co-ops and it's supporting the Kerry's and the dairy goals of this country. They're supporting jobs in those industries, and that's enhancing the GDP of the country through food and drink exports and all that. So the other sections, I believe, are suffering.
Yeah, so that's interesting now. So where would you go to for information?
That there's no scheme there. I think people know, I mean, if there's money out of something, people will follow it, let's face it. So, but I don't think there's any scheme there after AOS 5 or whatever it is. I don't think there's any scheme at the moment if I want to go into something, there's nothing there. But without an incentive, people won't do it because it costs money. The carrot and stick. You put a carrot up in front of somebody and they'll go for it if there's money out of it. No more than the environmental schemes in general.
So what other schemes would you like to see in place?
A properly funded environmental scheme. I think people would buy into it if they're paid. Let's face it, you know, we're not martyrs like for the environment. We have to make money. So I think it's the only way. It's the lack of funds. And then they're talking about European budgets being cut in agriculture, like, you know. It's, I mean, it can't sustain cuts. People will be wiped out. They will be wiped out. And regarding at the moment, they're talking about Brexit being a problem. It will be, but it's not the problem at the moment. The problem at the moment is this agriculture is not being funded through the public purse because the marketplace is not returning, so therefore the government have to step in and make the shortfall, but they're not doing so. I think there's a lot of changes needed. Yeah, they have to put money somewhere, whether this is an environmental envelope or what envelope becomes. It has to go into agriculture. Otherwise, the fabric of agriculture will change hugely, hugely.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in the world about it. None of us want to destroy the environment. There's no doubt about that. But we're human. We won't really do it. Mm. We won't really buy into it unless we're paid to do so, I think, anyway.
So could you see any measures locally that would be effective?
The Burren Farming for Conservation Scheme, I think, is a huge success.
Because
I think it takes into account the topography of the Burren and so on, and it ensures that people do the things necessary to preserve the grazing and so on and so on, and the flowers and so on and so on and so on. And I believe also that's the public good. To do things like this, it's not just environmentally friendly, it's also a public good, especially for the Burren areas where you have tourism and so on.
And what would you think then with regard to, do you think individual farmer action, would you be in favour of individual farmer action, or would you prefer, do you think, a collective action with a number of farmers?
Well, I suppose if enough of individuals get together, it'll become collective. But I suppose, I mean, we all know where those farmers getting awards for this, that and the other, and that's all fantastic. But of course, there's not enough. There's not enough of people doing what they're doing, you know. And that's the nature of everybody. We all can't be prize winners, you know. Or we're not, like. So we have to be kind of, I suppose, nudged on, shall we say.
Yeah.
And prompted to do things, you know.
So where do you get the information then?
Where do I get information?
Where do you get prompted on from? Or where, you know, where is the...
Papers.
Yeah.
I suppose papers... for me, anyway, that's what I see. I mean, they might write to you about something, about a scheme coming up. Find out.
And what are the main barriers then in farming now?
The main barriers? Costs. They're just spiraling out of control. Well, the costs, you see, because we're so dependent on our single farm payments, they're not index linked. So the value of those payments has been eroded massively. So they're not, the powers that be are not taking that into account at all. So what you see there then is people trying to cut back in numbers to keep as much of the single farm payment as possible. But I don't think it's been successful. I think people can see that it's just escaping through the net to feed stock. And I suppose the climate change then, the longer winters and so on, has impacted on all that, and it's eaten away everything. So I think you have more and more people going part-time farming. But I don't know if that's sustainable, because people are working 24/7.
Mm.
Really, you know. To do what? To produce meat and milk for nothing.
So, I suppose, just getting back then to the whole land, would flooding be a problem on your land?
Yes. What I am anyway, is there for centuries. Carcass land would always flood. Carcass land would always flood. So, all you can do is have drains open so that the water will leave quicker when the levels recede. Many years ago, the powers that be, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, used to clean the rivers. And all they did was they threw the spoil up on the bank. The bank was higher than the rest of the field, and it trapped the water inside in the carcasses. You know, now some people have rectified this situation through the years, but took away the soil and so on and so on and so on. So anyway, the council don't do that anymore. They don't clean the rivers anymore. It's not been done at the moment. It is a problem. But even if they did clean the rivers, I don't think it would make a huge impact, because water would always find its own level. And if you have a flood, cleaning the river isn't going to stop the water from rising. But I think flooding and the burn is different than that. I don't think it's a different type of flooding, isn't it?
So, in an ideal world, what would you expect as help and support for climate change adaptation?
I think a properly funded environmental schemes, properly funded forestry. They're not paying enough for forestry at all. And then with that money, you won't incentivize younger fellows. You might incentivize a bachelor at 60. Because if he goes into forestry, that's the end, finished. The land is finished for any agricultural use after that. And second of all, you only can draw the grant for 20 years. And if you replant, there's no funding for replanting. So you're only going to establish it.
Mm. So are there any incentives then for adapting then to the severe weather events?
I don't think there is.
So there's nothing.
I mean, when these things happen, pressure comes on the government for bits of funding, and they say they have no money and blah, 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 blah. So I don't really think so. No, I think people are left to their own devices, really.
And what would be your main priority then at the moment?
Survival. I think it's survival at the moment.
That you're sufficiently prepared if there were severe weather coming in, you know, if there was...
No, I don't think so. Because how can you be, no more than the Brexit thing at the moment, I think, how can you be, you can't change what you have that's going to make a massive difference.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No.
How would you think things will change, like, in 10 years' time? In 5 or 10 years' time, where would you see farming, or how
I think it's going to be a massive change.
In
the beef section, beef. I mean, people are going bust every day, so there's a big change, there is. And regarding that there was a mantra about saving the family farm, and that's only 5 or 6 years ago, there was all kinds of seminars about family farms and all this. There's nothing, I hear nothing about a family farm now, you know. It's all about getting bigger to produce more. That goes against the grain of family farms, I think. Because if you have guys getting bigger, it means that family farms are being eaten up economically. That is, I think it could go back to what we had 100 years ago, the estates.
Yeah.
The way things are going. Because you can't survive. It seems you can't anyway, because if there's not a market, if there's not a market price, if the market is not returning what's needed to produce and a profit, well, the government or Europe or somebody has to make the shortfall, and they're not doing so.
Would you, you know, the agri schemes at the moment, what would you like to see in place?
They have to address single farm payments. You know, and rather than bringing in stupid schemes to justify money being put in, and then put restrictions on people so that they can claim back some of that money through paying penalties and so on and so on and so forth. That's not an incentive for people to go into these schemes in the first place. Some of these schemes that came in they weren't taken up because people saw them as just traps for maybe inspections and so on and so forth. I think if they properly funded the scheme in the first place, people would buy into it better. You're not going to buy into something that's not, it's not economically your benefit, you know. People with part-time jobs can earn that money much, much, much easier outside farming than going to all these schemes.
And do you think locally run schemes are better?
I think so. I think the Borden scheme is prime example, because people can go into that office in Cairn and they can suggest things, and if it is good enough and it withstands the scientific laboratory, it may be brought in, and people feel they're a part of something. So you can, and then I suppose you can see it in the Burn, you can see the changes. Positive, absolutely, yeah.